By the cut of your suit, you went to Oxford or wherever. Naturally think human beings dress like that. But you wear it with such disdain. My guess is you didn't come from money. And your school friends never let you forget it. Which means you were at that school by the grace of someone else's charity. Hence the chip on your shoulder. And since your first thought about me ran to orphan, that's what I'd say you are. Well, you are. I like the spoke of thing. And that makes perfect sense. Since MI6 looks for maladjusted young men, I give little thought to sacrificing others in order to protect queen and country. You know, former SAS types with easy smiles and expensive watches. Rolex?
Omega.
Beautiful. Now, having just met you, I wouldn't go as far as calling you a cold-hearted bastard.
No, of course not.
But it wouldn't be a stretch to imagine. You think of women as disposable pleasures rather than meaningful pursuits. So as charming as you are, Mr. Bond, I will be keeping my eye on our government's money and off your perfectly formed house.
You noticed.
Even accountants have imagination.
Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
Why did that feel like an SNL beginning? It's like
live.
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
the unnamed movie podcast.
I love that Douglas throws that in there like I'm going to have the first half.
Mm-hmm. Like it's not just going to pull this over again.
So hi and welcome to the unnamed movie podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
We did it.
Yay!
That was someone crushed by the system. Just trying to break out of the normal and just feeling deep broken and going like, alright, I'll follow what you say. Anyways, this week, Damian has decided to hold us captive. As he said to us, there's a James Bond movie out, and there's no way we're not talking about the James Bond movie immediately.
I was like, David, what movie are we reviewing? Alright, it's my pick.
So guess what, guys? We're going to be talking about James Bondland.
Yay, Skyfall.
In Sky 2.
Sky 2.
As Damon has dubbed it last night.
Sky 2.
I always knew death would wear a familiar face, but not yours.
I was at a meeting recently and your name came up.
I'm flattered London was still talking about me.
It wasn't MI6.
You are a kite. Dancing in a hurricane, Mr. Bond.
Welcome, James. It's been a long time. And finally...
Damian, you just came from this movie, literally, like 30 minutes ago.
Minutes ago, yes.
Right?
Still fresh in my mind.
How much do you love this movie?
I like this movie a lot. See, James Bond movie. Now... I probably shouldn't have watched two superior James Bond movies before coming to this movie. But it's more James Bond.
So you're saying that you saw From Russia with Love before this movie?
Right, so I'm going to ignore that comment. I watched Sky 1 and the superior Casino Royale before going to watch this movie. This movie isn't Quantum of Solace. It's not bad / James Bond. It's still a good movie.
Bad / James
right.
Bond.
It's still...
That's a new category
right.
of movies.
Right.
It's there James are... Bond bad.
Right. It's James Rice. Quantum of Solace is James Bond bad. Right. It's not that.
I like Quantum of Solace.
That's okay, Douglas. I too like Quantum of Solace.
We agreed you weren't James Bond movie.
It's more James Bond. You can't, like, even the bad ones you like. Because there's James Bond in happening there.
Yeah.
This one doesn't quite sink to that level. It's... So, in my ranking, it is Casino, Sky 1.
You have Casino over Skyfall?
Yeah. It's Casino, Sky 1, and then GoldenEye and this. Tied for third. That's how I see now. And then the rest of them. She gives a shit. I like it. It was... Like, the thing that I never really pay attention to in James Bond movies is, like, camera work. None of that matters. This movie starts with a tracking shot that I'm sure there's some deception in. It goes on about 5 minutes. It. Yeah,
I could sense where they had the hidden cuts.
Right. In that shot. It goes on for about 5 minutes until he blows up the first thing in the movie. Which, by the way, that's a pretty good way to start a movie. And the entire time I'm like, holy shit, how are they doing this? And like watching it and I'm like, I've never really paid attention to James Bond movie doing this. But Sam Mendes clearly now has all the leeway he wants in the world. He can just do shit like this. Like spend what I'm assuming is an immense amount of money to get this shot done. Because it like goes from the sky through the streets, then back up as he's climbing over roofs. All sorts of shit. I'm like, this movie looks expensive. You can see no expensive spirit making this movie.
I was watching a video the other day where someone went through Iñárritu's Birdman, talking about that very thing, about like everyone watches Birdman, and there are a few moments where we know that there was a change, whether it was digital or whatever.
Right, they
like they go up into the sky and they look at the sky and they come back down. But he talks more specifically about the ones that you don't know are happening.
Yeah.
And he talked about one scene that he looked at very closely was the one where he was walking through Times Square.
Right.
And you had the band and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about where the cuts actually were in all of it. And it kind of helped me in figuring out where the cuts probably are in that same scene. I'd recommend you look at that video if you're ever interested in that kind of nonsense.
So, like... There are some places where the camera, the first one that I'm pretty sure that they cheated was when he goes up some steps. And the camera is following the two of them, and then it pauses for a second as they turn off screen. And then you watch the camera turn slowly behind them, and they go up the steps. It looks like one smooth transition, but I'm like, they probably had to do a whole lot of shit in order to rig that up, because whatever contraption they had following him through the streets or whatever probably wasn't able to go those steps all at once. I'm like, but these are things that I'd like all the other James Bond, for whatever reason, I've never paid attention to, like just the camera work. And I, of course, as Andrew said, I just got done watching this movie, but this movie is beautiful. Like, Sam Mendes picked his spots. He spent all of Sony's money and made this movie. I mean, it is a feast for the eyes. There's so much location changes. Like, everything. You can tell that he just went painstakingly over to make the movie look spectacular. And then he build this action movie on top of it and go, all right, action. And the story is the only thing that really didn't hold up. Like, the story is good for a James Bond movie, but it's not special.
It's not right? Spectre.
No. And so
spectacular.
And it's better. It's not what I expected after watching Casino Royale and Skyfall. Expected a better story with a better villain. I think the villain is what lets me down in this movie. And they kind of cheated by having Batista be lead henchman. Right. Having him be lead henchman is kind of, because he's not the real villain. But that helped. But the overall, like, watching Christoph Waltz try to be menacing didn't work. It didn't pay off.
Those I tried. I mean, he can be menacing.
Yeah,
we have all watched his claim to fame, which is the Inglourious Basterds. Mm-hmm. What were you going
the
to
Django?
Say?
I was going to say Green Lantern, Green Hornet. Hornet,
yeah,
Green Hornet, where he walks around with the double barrel gun, yeah. Which is in this movie.
It is. It's not as big. Is still awesome. Like.
Yeah.
And he gets told that he is a
Disco Santa.
Disco Santa Claus.
I love that for him. That's why that movie is still
horrible.
On my box.
That movie is horrible.
Because I just watched it at that point and then forget that the rest of that movie
Douglas. I didn't mean to.
No.
It's really bad. Yeah. He's like when you look at Le Chief and whatever the other guy's name was, I don't
His
remember.
His name is Hannibal.
Yeah. They
Mr.
are
White?
No, not Mr. White. The
he's talking about Casino Royale.
No, I'm talking about Skyfall. Skyfall's bad guy.
Javier Bardem.
I want his in-world name, not his actor name. The chief is not
monster. Maybe they call him Javi for short.
Great to stop that.
Ken Silva.
Right. You think of Le Chief and Silva.
He plays the number 21 shirt for Man City.
I'm going to stab him in the
face. He's my favorite player who came from Man City.
By the way, can I tell you, I've been upset. So I really liked Felix. Mm-hmm. Felix Leiter, Jeffrey Wright. He's awesome. And he showed up in Casino Royale. He showed up in Quantum of Solace. Mm-hmm. He hasn't showed up since. And I'm very disappointed, especially because they actually mentioned him in this movie. And
mm-hmm.
he's still wasn't there.
I kind of half felt he should have shown up in this one.
Because
mm-hmm.
they were judging up everybody. But like Quantum, the bad guy in this is underwhelming. You see him and he's not a physical match for James Bond. And then the overall plan that they've concocted is the most... like for this series is the most James Bondian.
True. Yeah, there
evil
were,
thing
there
that
were,
they've
there
come
were
up
a
with.
Lot of a lot of throwbacks,
right?
You know,
like,
there were
I
some ejector seats, and there were some parachutes,
right? This
and
is
there
the
were
one.
Some exploding watches,
right? This is the one that feels most like what James Bond used to be.
Yeah,
all right, and it got, but infused with what. The new James one is. And it was, like, it is a fun movie. There's nothing about it that you can point to and go, well, I didn't like it. But there are two better James Bond movies. And that is the, like, and that it's hard to hold that against a movie. But when you keep referencing those two movies throughout the movie, then, yeah. But I still love it, like, a lot. And I'm going to watch the shit out of this movie. Can't wait for Monday when I go watch it again.
I like how you bring up how beautiful this movie is.
It's
because
pretty.
While there's a lot of the direction and a lot of the setups that are kind of fantastic, for me, when I was watching this movie, I couldn't help thinking how much of a loss this movie is to not have Roger Deakins come back from Skyfall. Because when you hold up Skyfall as it looks to cinematography versus movie, I mean, the guy who they got to do this one, he's a guy who did Her and Interstellar.
Yeah, no,
and it's pretty damn great.
Right.
But what Deakins did with Skyfall,
it's
some of the imagery that
they
have in
Singapore
there.
Scene. That entire, you just look at it.
The
go,
one
oh,
that actually
shit.
Sticks with me is when they're actually at Skyfall and she's going down and they're running in the night and you just see like, the hues of the fire all over the place. I'm like, yeah, this is Roger Deakins.
Yeah.
This is why everyone keeps talking about this
right.
guy.
That's why people stab each other in order to get him on the set. Yeah.
But I'm kind of with you, man. This movie, you see, the thing is that
fun.
I wouldn't quite use the word fun, right? I like this movie in the fact that it felt like a regular James Bond movie. Where they just kept the Jason Bourne action in, right? Instead of having the 70s and 80s versions of Bond where he just kind of shoots a guy and moves on, right? It's Jason Bourne action, which is a thing that's happened with Daniel Craig. Oddly enough, the the one thing that I want to bring up, and maybe it's because when Skyfall came out a few years ago, I decided to marathon through all of James Bond's. Be like, I know I've seen a lot of these. Some of these I know I don't remember. Some of these I barely think I've seen. Mm-hmm. So like the Timothy Dalton ones, barely remembered.
that's actually the ones that kind of introduced me, in a sense, not really introduced, because I'd watched all the other ones when I was really young, but I remember, I think it was A License to Kill, no, it wasn't A License to Kill, it was The Living Daylights, that,
love that one,
came out on HBO, and that was when,
which one's The Living Daylights?
That's I think it's the one with the cello, the cellist.
Oh, yeah.
And Timothy Dalton.
Okay.
And those are the movies that I remember watching a lot because they were on HBO and kind of making me say, you know what? It's James Bond fellow. Yeah.
I like it.
And what I found interesting is that if you go through the Sean Connery movies, very much like these Daniel Craig films, there are points where they gave up on the Blofeld story and points when they came back to the Blofeld story, just being like, hey, remember when we did that a few movies ago? Mm-hmm. But for the rest of the actors, they just went, we don't care.
Yeah, these movies exist in isolation.
Yeah.
But what I want to talk about is this weird feeling I get, which is, especially with the Daniel Craig movies, and I remember it with the Sean Connery ones, the minute they kept having a continuous story between movie to movie, the movie dipped part to part, where it stopped being these isolated little dumb spy movies, and it started being these continuous long arc things where they didn't know how to keep it going.
Right.
They didn't know how to keep up.
Right. They had the to level come up with more.
Right. I love Batista in this movie, but dumb things like, if this movie felt more like how...
He was much more intelligent than the last time I saw him.
No, I think he's less intelligent in this movie than in that space movie.
This movie felt like adventure gaming, right? When you play adventure games, one of the few things that I realize more and more playing some of these games is that anytime you get an item, it is going to be used later on in the game. You have it for a reason, right? And it became a thing where the movie just kept throwing things at you. So he saw the DB9. He used it, gone.
Yeah.
He went on the skiing mountain, had a skiing moment, gone. Right? Q showed up. Q got used, gone. Right? And all these things happened, and absolutely none of them ended up mattering to me at the end of the movie, which made it more like a regular everyday James Bond movie. But at the same time, am I allowed to go back to judging movies as a regular everyday James Bond movie when this series of movies have done so well at trying to make you care about James Bond as a person who actually has things happen to him?
I mean, yeah. You're not wrong. If this is the only set of movies that you've seen, and you judge James Bond based on Daniel Craig movies, then this is not, like, it's not great. They should and can do better, but you don't get to watch, what's this, 24 James Bond movies?
It's a James Bond reboot. Those movies don't come
anymore. I didn't blame James Bond for being James Bond. It's not...
Like, when they get Idris Elba in for the next run, then we can start over.
You know what's going to be? You know what's going to be even weirder?
What?
Now that they're, like, Batman is done, right? They have to start over, right? And even if the Batman versus Superman, they change the actor but keep the same Batman storyline, at some point, all these movies are going to hit the point where James Bond hits, where they're like, ignore all of that other shit. We're going to give you like 5 years. We're just going to start putting out random, isolated Batman stories. You know who Batman is? We're going to ignore it. Because none of the James Bond movies go to any pains to explain who James Bond is. If you're in the theater, you know who this man is. And you just watch him do James Bond shit.
Actually, to be fair, the first James Bond movie didn't do much explaining.
Right.
They're just like, this guy.
Right.
He's fighting crime.
Right. Because they didn't know better then. But every movie now starts with origin stories.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a point where everyone is like, look, we don't give any fucks at all. Just he's Batman, right? Go. And then we're going to have to, and then at some point someone's going to go, yeah, but what if we tell a couple stories, like one big story with it? And you're going to go, no, I like the Batmans where it's just Batman doing Batman things. I don't want to log over the story. And, but this movie keeps pointing to the other movies that, the other Daniel Craig movies, which, I mean, hurts the movie because it limits the story that they can tell. If they were if they could just pretend that none of that happened and made him the meanest, roughest, toughest, gun-shootness, rootin'-tootin'ness bad guy. If they could get Elmer Fudd to be the bad guy. But you can see that they work from the opposite direction. They didn't go, all right, this is the bad guy. This is what he does. And let us work James Bond into this, right? Which is how they probably should do all action movies. Come up with the big bad, and then whoever it is that's going to stop him needs to find a way to stop him. Except John Wick. He does need a bit, he just needs a reason. Rain is falling, he has to murder people. But they had a lot of story things to wrap up in this movie. But they still had to make it a James Bond movie. So it was bugged up. But it was still fun. Like, all the car scenes were fun. All the foot chase. Like, all the things that makes a James Bond movie. James Bond seducing every woman in a skirt. Like, all of that is there. It's in the movie. And then the bad guy falls flat. But he only comes into the picture after Batista did his damnedest to entertain. That train scene was fantastic.
Train scene.
That car scene is spectacular. There was no shaky cam shit.
First of all,
they planned out all the shots. It looked good. It wasn't confusing.
Take out your love for the fact that they had specific cars in there.
Oh my god, those right. Cars are... Can I say the name of the car?
No, you can't. That's not allowed. Because honestly, that car scene, I actually wasn't too fond of it. It felt like the least tense car chase scene I've ever seen in a movie. I don't know whether that is a positive or a negative to what they were trying to do.
So I will say this for that car scene: James Bond's car was very good looking. Other than that, I can't.
Batista's car is also.
No, that's just. No, I don't think so.
Cars. Mm-hmm. All right, no, let me stop.
Mm-mm.
They had their car porn scene. He drove into that place and I was just losing my mind trying to ID all the cars. Can I just say the name of a couple of the, all right, there are lots of expensive cars in the lot. Which and then two of them thing. Drove off and had a car fight and I was happy. That's what I want.
So am I the only one that watched this movie and thought to themselves, so these James Bond guys saw Mission Impossible and said, let's go make that movie.
What is impossible about this mission?
This is essentially Rogue Nation, this movie.
There's no bike scene in this movie. So,
don't know what to do. You're wrong. Andrew looks clearly confused though. Like Andrew really right. Doesn't see it.
There's a woman that helps to take down some big bad that has some grudge against the main character.
And he has to go rogue.
But that's every freaking
national. But alright, so okay. I want to finally, you know.
No, there's a lot of.
Yes. I think there are a lot
that's
of.
Pretty good. I should watch them when they come on. I watch them. I think this is the same movie, but then we might run into a problem when we watch all the other spy movies.
Yeah.
Oh, with all of these.
It's definitely a recurring motif.
Yeah.
But
Batman takes good guy's daughter. Good guy has to go murder to save her. replace daughter with wife. That's it.
But yeah, so I want to chime in here, yes, because you guys have been having a lot of fun.
I like this movie.
You guys have been, you know, right, really just heaping some serious right praise
and
on this movie.
Hate this movie.
And, well, no, to
it
be
is
honest,
24.
To be honest,
it is
I don't
the 25th
know
worst James
what movie. I don't know what I want to say about this movie, but my goodness, I did not leave a happy camper, right? So I know, and I'm surprised, and I really want to watch it again because I know there's just something wrong with me. But there were a couple of things that really, there was one thing in particular that upset me.
Okay.
And I have to spoil the movie too.
Is it,
or at least a little portion of the movie.
Is it towards the end?
So it's towards the end. It's the exact end. It's the final scene,
mm-hmm,
and I fucking hated it. Right.
I get you.
So I'm not allowed to say it?
Mm-mm.
But, like, okay.
Okay, so I know what you're talking about. You hate the ending because it doesn't feel James Bond-ish.
In 3 days.
No, I know, but, like,
this won't
come. I don't have much else to say.
So me put up in 3 days.
Okay, I don't like the movie. I'm done. like that's the rest of our
I
review.
Don't like the end of this movie. Yo, I'm out. I've been Douglas. Drop mic. So is it that you don't, it doesn't feel James Bond-ish, or is it
the person
you have a problem with?
No, it has nothing to do with the person, mm-hmm, or persons. I think one thing that definitely, it wasn't like this really bad thing that I hated,
mm-hmm,
but it was something that kind of put me off guard was how it tried. It definitely tried hard to be two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
It tried hard to be the James Bond that they've created, which is this, like, I am a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am a real person. I am not, you know, this guy that has a utility belt.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they had ejector seats and they had parachutes. And so it's like they tried to be at two opposite ends of the spectrum at the same time. And
yeah, they tried to merge the two James Bonds.
And I felt like it didn't work 100%. But that is neither here nor there. I mean, it definitely kind of put me off kilter, but I wouldn't say that was the nail in the coffin. What was the nail? What definitely made me, and it's probably because it was at the end of the movie,
mm-hmm,
I left that movie angry. Like, real angry, mm-hmm, at the way it ended.
James Bond and something.
Something happened.
Yeah. And you didn't.
And, you know,
I think because, like, Daniel Craig has come out and said that
he'll never
be doing
it
anymore.
Yeah.
So I think like, he's serious. I think they know it. And so they had to.
But they didn't have to.
No,
Because they felt they had to do this.
Like, send him off or something, right? But Douglas, guess what? Through the magic of director's cut, I can make it so that you never see that scene again. And you're not wrong. I'm going to take that out. It would be lost to time.
How many Damien cuts are there?
There are, I'm up to 9 now.
Not double digits yet?
No, I'm not in double digits yet. Yeah, I think I'm up to 9. 3 of them don't really count.
Yes,
yeah, don't really count. So if we take out those 3. That's not like a director's cut. That is like, what do they call them on YouTube? Like when.
Fan edit.
Yeah, no, they're mashups. Like, okay. Fight match. It's just a big fight mashup. It's not like.
A super cut.
There's no. Super cuts is what they call. There's no movie there. It's just a super. It's just fights.
Mm-hmm.
So those 3 don't count. It's Source Code, Sympathy for Lady Vengeance, are the 2 that I had to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just had to do that.
And then high school math problems.
Alright, I'll do it. Right, I'll add this to the list. Yeah. I need to write it though. It's my phone. When it comes out, I'll remember. Because that ending, you're right. It's not great.
It's aggressive.
But all right, can you try and divorce the ending from the rest of it?
But even to be honest,
were you entertained
you?
Throughout the movie?
No, I wasn't. Oh, because even it felt the way Avengers felt when I watched this. That there were clearly, I was super psyched to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Maybe I put it up a little bit higher than it should have been. And there were moments in this movie where I was watching it and I'm like, I know this is action.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shooting and, you know, jumping and parachuting.
Crashes.
But there was a point where I was just like, this is just too so much and I'm kind of bored.
As I said before, I hadn't seen any of the Martin material. It's just like pictures of James Bond with a gun.
Yeah.
I didn't watch any other trailers or anything. So all of this was new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because everything was new to me, there was nothing that I could go, oh, I saw that already. So maybe I will have the opposite reaction the next time I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I watch it and go, maybe this movie wasn't... Maybe this movie is worse than I think it is.
Yeah.
But,
and the thing about it
but
is...
But I watched all of it and went... No, I enjoyed... Like, the movie felt paced correctly. There was just enough downtime between these crazy action scenes. All the crazy action scenes were well done. None of them felt too over the top. Like, even the ejector seat thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It wasn't like... him driving off a roof into a helicopter and hitting the button.
So what I did like about what I really liked about the ejector seat thing though, was that when they they showed you the dashboard with all the lights and switches, and it was clear that it wasn't, you know, in the past few James Bonds where this was the sort of thing that they did. It was all very sleek and
slidey panels.
Yeah, you know, this was literally, and you saw the wires hanging out, exactly. And it was there was some duct tape with almost handwritten instructions, and I thought that was great. It was like, we're trying this thing.
Yeah, Q is busy. He's a busy man. This is a prototype. I just want to know if it works.
Yeah. But I
sad.
I know, and the thing about it is, a lot of the previous James Bond movies that have been aggressively bad, things like Christmas Jones and the Oil.
Only James Bond movies with bad James Bond songs to prove my theory that bad James Bond songs make
bad
James
Bond
movies. Okay.
I didn't really like this new James Bond song.
Nor did I. But
which means
no. Oh, no.
Alright.
Yeah.
In fairness though, I didn't really like the Skyfall song.
No, I love the Skyfall song.
I don't
have a problem with the Skyfall song.
Yeah, it's an okay, just like her new song, Hello.
Yeah.
That Skyfall song. Alright,
yeah,
lady, you've done way, way better. No, this is okay.
Yeah.
I totally was like listening to that Skyfall song on repeat for a while.
Yeah.
But
there's so many bad James Bond movies that I'll just still watch
and
have no problem with because it's James Bond.
You just said
this
James
movie,
Bond
exactly.
Movie?
Right? I agree
James
with
Bond
that
bad.
Statement.
Exactly.
James,
you mean James Bond
bad? James
Bond bad,
okay, exactly.
Course,
but this movie, like the way I feel about it right now, I almost never want to watch it again.
Oh my god. That is... Wow, you really did have a
I have a serious problem with this movie.
I wonder
everyone seemed happy. Like, no, people do.
Right,
and I've seen some seriously...
Right,
so
people
reviews.
Don't really hide their emotions. When they do, when they spend money and don't like a movie, they feel the need to announce it to everybody in the theater.
Also,
we walk out. Like,
and also to let people know that they came here to watch another movie.
Right.
So, Douglas, I'm curious. Right? We've been talking about James Bond bad movies, right? And you've kind of pointed to two movies this year, this and Avengers, where you've had the same kind of feeling towards.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this, because this is something that I have been kind of curious about, how much of this is attributed to the fact that movies nowadays, especially these kinds of movies, feel the need to cater us to the 2.5 to 3 hour mark? As opposed to James Bond bad movies where they were like, guys, we're doing 100 minutes and we're out.
Listen, if the credits finish and that says 91, you're on fire.
Because because I do generally have a feeling that there are a lot of movies being made today that are kind of stretched out and more to the point overstuffed.
Yeah.
Like when you inundate someone with too much, like when you hit that 80% mark, you no longer feel anything. You're just kind of numbed in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Just let me go home,
please.
And that's
and you're right. I think it might have something to do with that.
Give us three.
The action may not have been that great. But you're right. Maybe if they had truncated it, had kind of just given me bits and pieces. It's like the television show argument. Give me small half an hour chunks and I'll be able to sit through anything.
All right. You can watch 19 of those. And I can keep watching this.
Because the truth of the matter is that scene, that affects me sometimes as well. I mean, we generally attribute movies of those lengths to like prestige movies, to the Oscar movies, where they're allowed because they are issues that need discussing.
Right. They are cinema.
And I mean, we can't wait till next year for the Coen brothers to talk to us about prestige pictures.
I can't wait
for
that movie.
I want to see it.
That trailer.
What, do you guys want to see a Coen brothers movie? Oh
my god, you guys have grown up.
Finally saw Miller's Crossing, by the way.
You don't talk to me.
I only watched the first 20 minutes.
He ran away.
I had to do work.
I hate you so much. So let me get this straight. You expect me to listen to anything you have to say when you haven't seen Miller's
Crossing? I've watched almost all of their
movies. And you don't like James Bond.
I don't know. All right, fair enough. You make a good argument. I can't really come back from that.
You might as well never speak to me again at this point.
So anything else you guys want to talk about when it relates to Spectre?
I like it a lot.
The more I think about it, there's never been something I didn't like about a James Bond movie.
The more things I can remember. Like, I don't remember. There's nothing about the movie that I can look down at. Even the ending that you said. I'm going to cut that out because it's unnecessary, but not because I had any feelings. So was it? That's went all right. I like this movie. Christoph could have done better. That's the only downside.
Shoshana.
hey, actually, not Shoshana, but one of her sisters or something like that was in this movie. Lea Seydoux was in she was in Sky 2, but she was also in
Spectration.
Fairly certain that's not a word.
Oh, she was in Inglourious Basterds.
Spectacles.
I think she was one of the sisters that were helping out Shoshana. She's also in Blue is the Warmest Color.
Like,
yeah, I love that one.
I mean, it helps that all of the cast in this movie have been in other things that I also like. So even though Moriarty was just Moriarty, I just saw his face and went, I want to punch his face.
And to be fair, I got another chance to see Pigfucker Part 1.
Right.
Pigfucker the First. Right.
He was in this movie as well. I just see him and go, I can't wait for them to make more of that. Right. You just watch it and you go, yeah. I like this movie. I like that they ended it in London. It's pretty good.
If you were that guy, would you be offended if I referred to you, like, lovingly as
people? As an actor, you have to accept all of your body of work. Right? And as long as someone recognizes him, I think he'll be happy.
Because I mean it as a term of endearment. Yeah,
and he knows that.
Funnily.
He knows that you're not a psychopath. You don't believe in his real life. He's going around doing what David Cameron does.
That's no. Pigfucker the Second. Right.
As long as you don't call him Dave Cameron.
No, if you call him David Cameron, and then he's like, what?
you know, pig fucking. And then he goes, that's pretty good. That is world class, son. You should write on my next TV project because you've got something. Right? Yeah. But he would, like, he shouldn't. Right? There was some, I don't remember where I heard this, but there was some guy who frequently talks to actors for his job. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what he does is look up their worst roles and then refers to them as that person. Right? Introduces them.
Yeah, who you know as gangster number one from number Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. From this shitty movie. Charlize Theron. Right, they're like, the actor is not aware before they come up. Just come on to say, you son of a bitch. Right? From Slave 3 in Amistad, Morgan Freeman. I've been God in movies. You're a monster. Right, you should do that. You won't ever meet this man, so I don't
remember having this from Sandlot Part 5. Yeah. We all got old.
From every Tremors movie. That one guy who isn't in any other movie.
From wrestling, Dwayne Johnson.
Underneath the mango tree, my honey and me.
Who is that?
It's all right. I'm not supposed to be here either. I take it you're not. Are you alone?
What are you doing here? Looking for shells?
No, I'm just looking.
Stay where you are.
Everybody come quick! Something's happened! No time to explain!
There's something I want to talk about.
All right, what's that?
Skyfall.
This week, I saw a trailer.
What?
I saw a trailer for this movie. Which I assume isn't going to be good, but that's not the point.
Is it ever?
It is called, I believe, American Hero. It stars Stephen Dorff.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
I mean, I haven't seen the trailer. I saw American Hero and Stephen Dorff. I like Stephen Dorff. He's in a lot of terrible, terrible things, but I like that man.
This movie seems to be another in the world of what I'd like to title GoPro movies.
Oh, no.
Right? Movies in which, and I've seen some movies utilize it as like a scene or to do things with, but movies where they obviously are taking the YouTube GoPro kind of style of filmmaking where the camera will move around a lot. It's very obvious that like there's a dude beside you doing the filming and they're kind of pointing to you continuously. There apparently was a movie that screened at TIFF last year, which was entirely first person. I saw a trailer for the Grimsby movie where they have a sequence that looks very first person where you're seeing him do all the action in first person.
Yeah.
And I remember a few years back, there was a short film on YouTube that everyone jumped up about, which was an entire first person action sequence where he was just running through doing all James Bondy things, but it was just first person and you were seeing everything. And I'm kind of throwing up that wonderful skeptical question mark that film people like to throw up whenever new trends happen that are catching on. What the fuck's going on with this GoPro thing? Because
they're cheap.
They're cheap.
Like the budgie.
Like the budgie. I don't want to say that this is definitely bad. Mm-hmm. But
you should.
But I should. The one movie that I like to point to think positively as to how someone was able to do something with it, and maybe it wasn't fully GoPro style or whatever, was Chronicle. Mm-hmm. Right, where they were doing the whole handheld thing and I was being filmed and this is a pretty much a found footage movie.
Edit again in the new movie where they time traveled. Chronicle 2.
I didn't see that. Just call it Chronicle 2.
I don't remember what the name of the movie is. But it's like Chronicles.
There's also, and this is a while back, the monster movie that I think J.J. Abrams produced it or something. And Matt What's-His-Face directed it. What's it called again? I love that movie, but I haven't seen it in so long.
The monster movie?
Yes, the monster movie.
It is the movie with the said monster in it. Don't you remember the movie
Matt Reeves directed it. It was.
Cloverfield, Douglas. Cloverfield.
Yes, thank you. The monster. That movie was awesome. Actually, I own that somewhere downstairs.
In the bins.
Sons
of bitches. There's something weird about
the monster movie.
Sorry, by the way, that's the monster movie is Godzilla.
Like one of the old ones?
No. When you say the monster movie, it is Godzilla. You can pick whichever movie you want to talk about. No,
and you have to be very careful because I have many things here I can throw at
you. But it's just whenever I see that kind of style of thing happening, I always imagine it not being like feature length. I always imagine it being like a short thing where like I can stomach what's going on for like 15 minutes
so
and it might be a little cool.
So you're a snob of his
wife. Don't you know
that's
this?
What you're describing is I don't like these young people and their young people video. I don't want it in my video. You keep it on YouTube where it belongs.
Well, first of all, he doesn't have a video, right? He has film.
Right.
That he watches at
celluloid.
The cinema.
Right. That they put in canisters and it is projected lovingly onto the screen. Not a laptop. Andrew, I'm sorry that you have to hear this from us. Because we're like you. Don't believe I am in any way disagreeing with you. But you see, movie execs have to do this thing where their movies make money.
No.
And they can go about it two ways.
Can I just tell you about Prestige Pictures?
Right. They can follow trends. So look at what gets billions of views on YouTubes. And try to copy that in some way. So that dumb kids can watch it. Or they can spend truckloads of money.
To hope that even
to pander,
more.
Right,
exactly.
To pander to us, hoping that there's enough of us to go and watch.
So and James Bond.
But yeah. There's a secret third way. If you make it cheaply enough, then then it might make a lot. That is why all these horror movies, like, before, what was the first one? Where
Paranormal Activity.
No, the one, the phone footage one. The very first one.
Blair Witch.
Right, before Blair Witch, people didn't really make horror movies like that. Because they just didn't. They didn't know that was a thing. They didn't know how to go about it that way. Right? The second that movie came out and made truckloads of money. Now, there's a movie like, there's 5-10 movies like that every year. And even though we don't see them or know their names, when a movie costs 13 cents to make, and make $30 million, while a regular movie would go, that is an absolute failure. But they look at it and went, we spent what and made what? Make 4 more movies.
Yeah.
But and also, it's the same thing they're hoping for in this YouTube thing. Like, our days, like, you must know, our days are not, like, we have 100 and little bit years of cinema. But we're running out of time.
That's not true.
YouTube has come to destroy us. Okay, so let us just enjoy what we have and just ignore all of those movies that, you know, came out of the YouTube generation. Just ignore all of that shit.
And you know what's interesting is Andrew's complaining about this thing, right? And the truth of the matter is this GoPro evolution or revelation or revolution, as he's calling it, is really just an extension of things like his favorite YouTube channel Rocket Jump, right? And you know, it's video game high school is the next step, and then now a feature film or feature films like the ones that you're talking about are the latest.
But to use Freddie Wong as an example,
I'm just letting you know right now, your argument cannot be, but Freddie Wong is good. That can't be the argument, right?
No,
okay,
no,
right.
That's not what I'm saying.
Name Freddie Wong as if I'm supposed to,
I know because he put me onto him, but he's the Rocket Jump guy that I was talking about.
He should have stuck with Rocket. Like, who? What is it? Like, I don't know.
Every step that he's taken throughout all of his YouTube videos have been equivalent, right? Every project, everyone that he does, it makes sense, right? So, as I said, I used Chronicle as like a good example where they took that sort of idea and like it didn't become a problem for me watching the movie, right? When I see some of Freddie Wong's, I keep using his name, short films, there's some...
Frederick Wong, right?
Right. That sounds like a director. Yeah.
A director's name.
Not like my G.
Look, there's
a heap of garbage.
It's really got figured, and then there's Freddie Wong.
I'm gonna stab you.
There's...
Freddie Wong got fingered? That sucks.
Breaking news.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, that's why he makes videos on YouTube.
Therapy.
Try to deal with the pain.
Web therapy. Like Freddie Wong.
So yeah, when I look at Freddie Wong's YouTube oeuvre, when you see all of his...
I like how he was clearly really hoping for some big laughs.
No, but you're all out. You don't have any more.
Yeah, I'm all out of Fox.
Yeah.
None left to
go. There's a truck parked outside, though. Fox on the
set. How much are they selling for?
I'm pretty sure it was for you.
It's not yours. But they got trucks and trucks and Fox.
So, when you look at all of his YouTube films, YouTube videos.
Okay.
The progression... Everyone, it feels right when I see it. Even when he has like a GoPro-y video versus something where he has some sort of a steady cam and he's just letting everything flow. When he made the let me not say the jump like it was like he got
did he jump in with a rocket?
He did do that in a video. When he did the jump to go and do video game high school, he started out the season one with like 10-minute episodes, then he went 20, then he went to like a full 35-minute episodes in the final season. And everything about those episodes felt like regular television production. It didn't feel like he was taking the GoPro mentality and dropping it into a 30-minute production. Like there were small sprinkles that when it was needed, but it wasn't 30 minutes of just cameras whipping around and doing craziness.
Oh,
and
you mean like a Zemeckis movie?
But it wasn't for 2 hours, was it? And my argument is very much the same argument everyone has every week talking about the overuse of CG or any sort of technique.
Overuse of
it. Right?
Like shaky cam and all that.
I have no problem with a technique being a thing that you can use. I have a problem with you thinking it's the only thing you can do for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The sad thing about that is that's never gonna change. It's all about watching the ones that you think are good versus the ones that you think are bad.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's everything, right? It's every art form. If we talk about rap, that I think Damien and yourself have very loudly proclaimed is dead because there is, you know, all of popular rap is horrible, which it may be. But there are still, you know, the Talib Kweli's of this world, or whatever name you want to call, because the ASAP Rockies of this world, you know, that are just you know, high class. And
have you heard his Shabba song?
I have not heard. I haven't really listened to ASAP Rocky. The only thing I remember somebody told me about them once, and I was like, oh, you mean Aesop Rock? Because I love Aesop Rock. And then they were like, oh, maybe that's it. And then that night I searched and realized they were talking about this guy that sucks
Aesop Rocky
super hard.
Never heard of Aesop Rock? Wait a second.
You don't know Aesop Rocky? That's actually a good thing, Andrew. Okay,
you don't know who Aesop Rocky is?
No, Damien, Let's not make fun of him because he is better for it. He is the better for it. Oh, Damien,
he was even in the, movie. I saw. I know him as a guy who was in a movie. I didn't know anything about his music.
He was the
drug dealer in Dope.
Or was he? Which
remember? Like the first one, the initial drug dealer with the hair.
With the flat sitting on the car.
The one that
that acts out the girl.
Yeah, that's Aesop Rocky.
I did not know that. You knew this. We were watching the credits together. And you were like Aesop Rocky, and I was like, oh, okay. That guy.
You just recognized the name.
Yeah, I didn't know. Oh my god.
Yeah. I live with old people. I'm the youngest of all of them.
I know who Aesop Rocky is.
I just didn't see him. Which is what actually happens with most of my music. Most of my music, I know what they sound like. I know what their names are. I do not know what they look like.
But you'd have seen an album cover. Oh, wait. Most of the music you listen to, there's those Stars and Stripes.
Exactly.
A bench in sepia tone.
And ambience. Yeah.
What were we talking about? How did we get here? We were talking about
GoPro and videos.
What I was saying to you is, I think the what's happening with you, and you kind of said it, is the overuse of certain techniques. But I think as these YouTube people like get more money, right, they'll be able to buy better.
Thanks to YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll pay them to never say that.
And look at, for instance, Key and Peele is now doing a new show with people from, I can't remember if it's YouTube or Vimeo, but somewhere.
It is like, when I found out that all TV shows that involve houses and apartments have to shoot them in, like have to make the apartments overly expensive because you need somewhere to put a lot of equipment. So if you want camera chases and shit, then the apartment that the people live in has to be a bigger apartment, or the camera crew can't do their job. You go,
physical space.
Right. You go, oh, that's why these poor people always live in the greatest apartments you've ever seen. Because they need space to move shit around. And you go, oh, I get it. And it's like, I'm sure when you're doing it, when you're maxing out your parents' credit card to buy equipment, then shakes are going to happen because you can't build entire systems in order to move or buy cameras that you can throw from outer space and they won't wobble even for a second.
You could buy planks and just drag the camera.
Yeah, but you need to pay someone to drag. When you, like, an Epic Red camera is like the cheapest of all cameras and they're like $6,000 for the body and you have to buy lenses and all sorts of other shit. And you go, oh, well, I guess if I have to buy 4 or 5 of these and pay people to feed my actors or whatever, when you have that amount of money, then there are certain amateur level things that we see on YouTube that just disappear because you'd have never thought of doing it. So when you see a feature-length movie aggressively go, this is the thing that people like, you go, oh, you guys don't understand what people like. You guys see the wobbly thing and go, oh, the young generation like this, but I'm sure years from now when everyone films everything's on drones and drones don't shake and we won't have to worry about this anymore. What we still have to worry about is having directors look at YouTube things and base entire movies around that, which is what they did. If you
Pixels.
I finally saw the
The short for Pixels?
No, not the short for Pixels. I finally saw the Point Break trailer tonight.
No, oh, my.
Good lord.
It looks horrible.
Oh my god. Even by Point Break standards.
Yeah.
That movie.
My favorite part about that trailer is when you hear him talking and you hear him say,
extreme athletes
like me.
Like me. Yeah.
I heard like jumping up on the, like people looking beside of me just, yeah, what is he? When I heard that sentence, I was just like, yeah, this is the work. I have to see this. I need as big a screen as humanly possible to filter, right? I want all of it beamed into my brain. I don't want to blame the fact that my TV isn't 90 feet across for why I hate this movie.
I want to hate this movie in all its glory. I want to hear someone say extreme athletes again. And I want him to say it many times. Because, oh my god.
God, that movie looks...
But you see, the thing about it is...
Can I get it in VR? Do they have it in VR? I'll watch that. I'll pay money. I don't
care. What gets me about that line isn't extreme athletes. It's
like me. Yeah. No, when he says like me, I'm like, oh, I have to. Oh my god.
I'm like, why are you in this?
They're the worst of the worst people.
And please remember that the only law that matters
is gravity. Just the lines coming out of that
Douglas. Douglas.
And that's a trailer. That's the lines they chose.
Douglas, they're extreme drivers like me, Paul Walker.
That's why the movies are bad. Then they put The Rock in it and wrecked it. They stopped talking in those movies. They just drove off cliffs. It was special.
Yeah.
You guys have anything you want to talk about?
No.
Damon looks bland.
He looks bland.
I had something the last time, but I don't remember.
Alright, so I guess we're going to go back to 5-year-old Douglas.
Oh, we get 5-year-old Douglas.
Yay, 5-year-old Douglas.
Maybe I put it in. No, my phone wasn't working. That's why I can't remember. My phone wasn't working. I didn't write it down anywhere.
So there have been a couple of trailers, back to the trailer argument, that have come out lately for movies that I kind of really want to watch. And two of them in particular.
The Star Wars.
No. But they star people. Mm-hmm. So two of them in particular star Kurt Russell. And one of them...
His mustache is
Fast and the Furious 9.
One of them is The Hateful Eight. Not 9, 8.
I haven't seen that trailer yet.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And
that's coming out this year, right?
Yeah, it's Christmas Day.
So I'll continue to not see that trailer.
Yeah. And the other one is Bone Tomahawk. Have you... it's actually already...
Watching trailers.
Apparently, it's already available because it's on VOD, I believe. Bone Tomahawk is another Western.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Bone Tomahawk. And I don't need... I shouldn't have to tell you anything else. Right?
I'm writing it, don't know.
Yeah.
Based on two pieces of information. Kurt Russell, Bone Tomahawk.
There is a very impressive mustache.
Yes.
Happening.
Impressive. And I really want to watch both of those movies. And it kind of brings to the fore. I don't think I'm at the same level as Damien, because Damien, Damien's love is an educated love. Right? Damien has...
I don't think anything about Damien is educated.
Yeah. That was really sweet of you, but that's incorrect.
I mean,
but Damien
might have
had an education. I am irrational. In all things.
But Damien has watched far too many Westerns.
I'll accept that.
And after watching that many, he still has decided that he loves that genre and would like to watch more. I have watched some, right? I'm not going to say I haven't watched a lot. I'm not going to say I haven't watched any. But I've watched some. And I've watched some really good ones and probably some real shit ones as well. But... it's a genre that, you know what, Damien, I'm on your side. It's done well. And recently there haven't been that many movies, many Westerns. And, you know, things that come to mind are like Meek's Cut Off, which actually was more of a crying movie, but still was set in that era.
So good.
This wasn't exactly a movie, and by exactly I mean it wasn't a movie at all. It was a TV show by the name of Deadwood, which was great and gave us the rise of T.O.
Ian McShane. I don't know what you're talking about. That show was Ian McShane's show.
Timothy
in
Olyphant,
which he got to curse bad words repeatedly for no reason.
In that show. And also, what I remember just adoring was... I actually never watched that one.
Don't. It's bad.
It's bad? Okay.
I've seen this. I haven't seen other good movies. Mm-hmm. But if you put a movie in the West, for whatever reason,
of course you're gonna
and
watch
I
it.
See it, yeah. I'll find an excuse to watch it.
Yeah, man. And the last one that I remember really loving, and we actually just spoke about it Django. Thank you. I didn't even remember that one. But we just spoke about it right before we came to talk. Was the... Oh my goodness, I can't remember the name.
Searchers.
Ben Foster was in it.
Oh, 310.
310 to Yuma, thank you, yes. And that movie, it was a remake, but it was great. As was now another remake with Rooster Cogburn. But, you know, there are...
I mean, what? We did watch one very special Western a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but that was in the 90s. I'm not really counting
it. The wrong movie.
Oh, really? Which one are you talking about?
Starring one of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Are you talking about Rango?
No. Try again.
Oh my god, no.
There it is. There it is.
But
Army Hammer.
So it kind of feeds into Andrew's discussion earlier of the overuse of certain things and trends in the market, trends in film.
So you want Westerns to come back?
Yeah.
100%.
So I kind of want Westerns to come back, but at the same time... At the same time, if Westerns come back, we are all going to have the same problem that Andrew has with GoPro. Because for Westerns to come back, it's not just good Westerns. It's going to be bad Westerns. And we know that the ratio, just generally... of good things to bad things is very small, right? So, and again, this is just 5-year-old Douglas just saying there are a couple of trailers that, oh my goodness, they've piqued my interest. I really want this thing, but you know,
a couple of years ago when we realized that Korea was the best, place in the world, and we wanted to move there. And then
we started
By the way,
have any of us looked up if there's a South Korean film festival we can go to?
There's one in Jamaica, apparently.
No, that doesn't count. I've seen what they play for that. I'm talking about in South Korea, where we can go and watch South Korean films for like a week.
I doubt it. Koreans are far, though. Samsung needs their people to work all the time. They don't have time for any madness. We decided Korea was the best. And I went, Korea is the best. I should watch more of Korea's movies. And then was quickly dissuaded of that notion because I ventured outside of their bestest movies. When everyone can point to you and go, this is the best thing that came out of this country. And you watch it and go, yeah, this is the best. You're ignoring the part where no one talks about, like, the romantic comedies, which I watched a few and went, oh wow. And I went, all right, I'll watch one of their dramas. And no, it turns out they're really, really good at revenging. And then they make other movies for the rest of the year.
And also, only specific people are revenging. Kind of like everything else in the world. Some people are good, most people are not.
Yeah. When we, at the end of the year, we're like, oh yeah, it's so hard to narrow down the top 10 movies because there are so many good movies. But when you say, all right, how many movies did you start with? You start with like 30, 35. And then you look at the film, the films that were released that year, like, oh, 300. Oh, that's pretty good. I like 10% of what came out this year.
So guys...
bad number.
In December, every December, there is a Seoul Independent Film Festival. Happens in South Korea. As Seoul is in South Korea.
Seoul. Yeah. Actually, it's probably, to be fair to Andrew, it's probably a mixture between us and him.
Right. I've never actually heard someone from there pronounce it.
I've had a Korean correct my pronunciation of Stoker director's name, which I won't say anymore now that I've heard them correct me.
I'm just going to keep calling him what I've always called him, Stoker Man.
Guys, we have to go to a South Korean film festival and just watch South Korean movies for
couple of problems with that. I don't speak any Korean.
Yeah, I'm real afraid of going to places where I don't speak the language.
And why you go to China?
I went to China
with a delegation of people that would have ensured that there'd be at least rough translation.
Exactly.
Three jackasses in a country.
Specifically for an event that was organized pretty much by people that knew English
It was in Hong Kong, then 100% I'd have been with you. Because that's basically Chinese England. But
Seoul.
And by the way, it was Beijing that I went to. So
yeah,
hey.
Exactly. Right. Seoul is very international now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, man.
Really? Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things.
Send me a postcard when you get back. Plus, you understand that
they have an English website.
You understand they won't translate any of those movies into English, right?
I'll find that.
Oh, actually,
you just hold up your phone. You just hold up your phone.
Would there be subtitles?
Google Translate. Google Translate.
Yeah, Google, you have to do this on the fly. Google, what just happened?
You have to have your cell phone on and put the earbuds in, and you'd be like a delegate at the UN, just sitting there with a hand to your ear.
How much for you, a delegate? I need a translator, and not the one from South Africa that fucked up the funeral. Not him.
Such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin, but don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you fear. For a golden girl knows when he's kissed her, it's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger.